All right, today we're going to talk about, well, the title of the message is The Practice of Faith. It's the practice of faith. And God kind of gave this to me like this last week, and I didn't think much of it. I had been praying, and I was just kind of sitting there, and sometimes these titles just kind of pop up, and sometimes I teach on them, sometimes I'll just leave them sit there for a while, and then God will pull them out. He'll pull them out when it's time. So when I was getting ready in the Word and praying, God just kept hammering me with this. You know, just it kept pounding on me. That's the way God works with me, to show me that this is what He wants me to do. It just keeps staying consistent inside of me. Constant reminder kind of a thing, you know, just keeps coming up. And so as I was praying and preparing it, one of the things that I want you to get out of this is that this is meant, the practice of faith. You know, I talk about faith a lot, I get into it a lot, but I wonder how many of you understand, really kind of have an idea how to walk out of here and begin to put some of that to work. And hopefully, I'm going to help you today start doing that. Amen? I don't know how long I'm going to go on this. It could be just today, it could be a couple weeks. But there was a list of things that God started showing me that how we could start practicing our faith. And so the practice of faith refers to the ways we can exercise our faith so that it saves us, attains God's promises, and receives what we ask for. I mean, that's the power of what God has given to us in faith. Amen? For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen? That's us. For all the promises of God are based on faith. That's Romans 4:16. I'm not going to try and quote it right now. But it's based on faith. You receive the promise based on faith. And then, of course, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it, right? So fundamentally, and also faith, when you start growing up in faith and start walking in it, you can start using your faith for the fruit of the Spirit. You can start using your faith, you know, for, you know, answer. When I say answered prayer, like, for example, I'm going to share this because I'm just really blessed. God really blessed me. It's been a while since I've witnessed to anybody, you know, to really share Jesus. And it's because I live in my house, man. I'm stuck in my house all the time. I go to work, and when I go to work, it's, you know, it's business. Some of you might know how it is, but it's hard to just start conversations about God. So I've been praying. I said, Lord, I want to share my faith. I want to have the testimony. I want to be able to share Jesus with somebody. Amen. And, you know, it says by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they overcame him. So our testimony, and talking about overcoming Satan and the Antichrist, our testimony is really important. And giving your testimony is really important. The last opportunity Paul had to preach to the children of Israel was when they almost beat him to death before he ended up being taken, you know, eventually on his way to Rome and to get before Caesar. And what does he do? He stops the centurion on the steps and says, let me say something to these people. And so in his Hebrew tongue, he shared his testimony, how he got saved. And it was going fine until he talked about how Jesus said to him, I'm going to send you off into the Gentiles with the gospel. And then they all said, away with the man, kill him, kill him. They didn't want the Gentiles to have anything from God. They were sworn enemies. You know, in that sense, all right, you got to understand part of the reason why Israel got destroyed in AD 70 was because they kept harassing the Romans with their rebellions. And they kept trying to destroy the garrisons. They would kill the Romans. They would do all kinds of stuff. There were people that were called zealots. And there were people given to that. And finally, Rome said, enough is enough. And they went in there and slaughtered everybody. And they slaughtered a lot of people. They destroyed the temple. Jesus said, not one stone. And it was a massive temple built on granite rocks, granite stone that had been carved out that were big. I mean, they weren't small. Not one stone was left on top of another. And the reason being, they burned the temple, and when they did, it melted all the gold. And so the soldiers wanted to get rich. So they started tearing the stones down, tearing down the building, tearing it all down so they could get to the gold that had run into the cracks between the giant, you know, stones. They tore the place down. And Jesus said, he prophesied that. And he, why? Because I was here, and in the hour of visitation, you didn't even recognize me.
Wow.
Now, a lot of people got saved in Israel, but Jesus warned them, hey, when you see Jerusalem surrounded, get out. Amen? And they did. But that's what Paul did. He shared his testimony. He spent more time sharing his testimony than trying to argue about, you know, doctrinally whether what they should be believing. And so I'd been praying, you know, God, I want to witness. And I went out yesterday to go to Verizon in order to buy a hotspot for us so that I could, you know, try and figure out how not to have to deal with, you know, the network here. And the guy was talking to me and he said, you know, it's not worth it. He goes, honestly, it's not worth getting a hotspot. Your phone's just as good. The hotspot, he goes, the ones that we have here are only 4G. He goes, it's not worth it. He goes, to order the 5G one, would, you know, it's going to take a while to come in and it's going to cost you a lot of money. And he said, but I can upgrade your phone to 5G full on and then you can just use that. I ended up saving money on my home, my own bill. So I got my phone upgraded. I'm not using it today because the network, for some reason, is now working. I mean, it let me get in. It let me, you know, put in the password, which it hasn't been doing until it goes wonky on us, and then I do it today. Praise God. But when I was there, I met this young man, and I started talking. We started talking, and he was just really honest with me. And he asked me, well, what are you using it for? And I said, well, you know, we're a church and we're meeting in this hotel and we have a meeting room. And I said, and their network is real spotty. And I said, I just need something that'll hold, you know, while I do WebEx and camera and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, oh, he goes, you're a pastor. He goes, you know, he started asking me questions. And so I shared my testimony, told him how I became a Christian and, you know, why I walk with God all these years, so many years later. We had a wonderful time talking. Amen. Now, he was at work, and, you know, I think his boss finally came out and stuff, but he just sat there and kept talking to me, not even bothering. But it was a wonderful thing because I was able to plant a seed. Amen. That's all God wants. No. But that's what God wants. Amen. He wants us to just be open to planting seeds, sharing our testimony. You can't even imagine how powerful that is. And of course, I talked about Jesus. I talked about the Father. I talked about walking with them. I talked about being saved. I talked about how I got saved, how I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and so on. Amen?
Amen. And you invited him.
And then, of course, you know, I invited him. If you ever want to come, you're welcome. He goes, you never know. I might show up.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. Isn't God good?
Yes.
But you know what? You can use your faith to believe God for even works. I mean, there was some stuff I wanted to do, you know, and I just had no avenue to do it. And I said, God, I said, I need an avenue to do this. I want to be a blessing. And the next thing you know, man, God started bringing me people, or a person, one person in particular. There was a couple of different people, but God brought me this one person, and I was able to meet some serious needs. I don't just sit here and talk about giving. I want to be a giver. I want that to be an expression of who I am all the time. Amen? That's the way we all should be. Ready, willing, and able to meet urgent needs all the time. Amen? And it was an urgent one. It's awesome. And it gave me a chance to talk to the person, and I had prayed with them to receive Jesus, and they were still on fire for God. And they were going through some issues, man, but they were still on fire for God. Isn't that wonderful? That's God, man. So use your faith. There's ways that you can use your faith. Practice it. This is what we want to get into, is how do I practice faith? Now, the reason why I'm using practicing faith instead of putting it to work or whatever is because I'm going to approach some of this on the level of just start practicing doing this. Just start practicing. You know, imagining that as you practice this, what do they say? I mean, if you want to become better at something, you got to do what? You got to practice it. If you want to be a musician, you got to practice. Right? And God's not even expecting you to be perfect in your practice. It's, as you start doing it, you're going to see results. And I don't want to say that right now, because it may take a while before you start seeing results. But honestly, when you start practicing, it's like when I first started praying for the sick. I found Mark 16. You know, these signs will follow them who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. This is something you'll do. I don't have to do it. This is something you do. Can you turn that down? Thank you. This is something you do, Father. I just got to lay hands on them. And I made the decision that I was going to start praying for the sick and not turn anybody away. And I have followed that. And you know what? I started praying for the sick. People, we started off with a little Bible study. Mary, you remember that Bible study on Levita in that little apartment when their, you know, train would go by? Be like, it was funny. But I made the decision that I'm gonna pray for the sick. And I started practicing it. And nobody died when I first started doing it. But it was some weeks later, I prayed for one person, I laid hands on them and prayed because they were suffering from migraines and they had been having it for a while and nothing was helping them. And they said, will you pray for me? And I said, yeah. And I laid hands on them and I commanded them to be healed and set free from the migraines. And all, you know, I prayed, I did my part, and I just expected God to, you know, for it to recover and do his part. And the person's standing there and they go, oh my God, it's gone. It's gone, completely gone. And they stopped having issues with migraines from then on. First really healing miracle I ever experienced. And I had been doing it for weeks. But somebody connected in that real faith, man. And I'm practicing it. You know, it takes two, right? It takes the person praying for you to believe, and it takes the person receiving to believe. And that's how you get the results. Now, I'm jumping straight into this. This is kind of, I've laid my foundation on this, and I'm just going to jump straight into this, to the first thing that we can practice. This is something to practice. And I think, I want you to, when I bring this up, because it's about practicing hearing the word, but what I want to do is I want you to change your perspective of what you're doing. Can you do that? Do you think you can do that? Maybe work on changing your perspective a little bit. Because see, I wasn't expecting an instant miracle. The word declared that they will recover. They will get well. All right? That's all it promised. I wasn't expecting a miracle. And I just started practicing it. And, you know, people came back and they said, yeah, I'm doing way better. You know, or this is gone, or I'm healed, or whatever. They came back and said that later on, weeks later sometimes. But as I continued to practice it, things started happening. And you guys should be doing this in your home, in your homes. You should be practicing praying, laying hands on the sick in your own homes.
Yes.
And I know a lot of you are. But practice it. There's nothing wrong with that, because you know what? That's how I got started. You need to understand something. I never gained any special dispensation for healing. I never did. I don't operate in the gifts of healings. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's my prayer. And so if a miracle happens, praise the Lord. It's awesome. Amen. Because it's an immediate testimony. But if it doesn't happen immediately, then I know that as my part, they will get better. That's what I know I can hold on to. And listen to me. If you really study Jesus' healing ministry, not everybody was instantly healed. Some started getting better. Some were healed within an hour or so. In that hour, they were healed, or they began to recover. There was a lot of miracles. But not all of them were necessarily instant. I mean, there was one guy that was blind. Jesus had to pray for him twice. You know, he laid hands on him, you know, on his eyes. And he said, you know, and I think he did something. I don't remember what. And then he said, open your eyes. And he goes, what do you see? And he goes, I see men like trees. Like all blurry and everything. And he goes, okay. And then he laid his hands back on his eyes, his thumbs back on his eyes again. And he goes, now what do you see? It's clear. I can see now. These are right there in the Word for us to understand if we have our eyes open to see them. Amen? So the first thing that we can do to start practicing our faith, this is really important because this is the foundation. And I know I pound on this all the time. We can practice hearing the Word. Because faith comes by hearing. This is fundamental for growing, feeding, and strengthening your faith. The Word is fundamental for growing, feeding, and strengthening your faith. Now, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to say something here. If 90% of your time, 95% of your time is focused on hearing the television, hearing the news, hearing social media, hearing the gossip, hearing, you know, all this natural stuff, and only 5 to 10% of it is hearing the Word, you're not going to have strong faith. Even I know that. And even I suffer that if I am not careful. Your faith begins to diminish the more you hear natural things as opposed to hearing the Word. Are you listening?
Yes.
All right. Now, you'll notice that it says, so then faith comes, and the word comes is crossed out. It's because it's not in the original. There's no word for come in the original. So then faith by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how Paul, he crams it together real quick, like this is how this works. It's out of hearing. And the word by there is actually the word ek, which denotes origin, from or out of. So faith out of, as in origin, in other words, it's coming, the origin of faith is from hearing. It's out of hearing. Now, Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, right? But did you know he didn't just necessarily plant faith in you? You heard the gospel. You heard the word of truth. Somehow, some way, you heard scriptures. You heard the word. And when you started opening up to Jesus, you were believing it. You were already gaining the faith that was coming out of that. I have noticed in my life, and I do this just for this reason. If I've realized I've spent too much time watching TV or I've spent too much time reading or whatever, I will stop and get in the Word. I have discovered that when I stop and read just one chapter, or just read my scriptures again. If I stop and just read the Word, it washes that stuff out. That's what the Word does. It washes it out. Amen? But when we practice hearing the Word, let me get into what the word hearing means here in a minute. But when we practice hearing the Word, all right, you're doing something a little different than just letting the Word wash you and clean you up. All right? You're doing something a little different. So faith out of hearing. And the word hearing there, common word, it's the word akoi. It means to hear. It means hearing, whether the act, the sense, or the thing heard. In other words, your senses, you have the sense of hearing. The act, you're hearing something. Like, you know, a little while ago we heard the thing go off and then it reconnected on its own. You know, the network, you know, disconnect go off and then we heard it on its own. You know, came off. You heard that. That's something you just heard. All right. That's the act of hearing. And then you have the sense, which is your ears. And then, of course, you have the reality of the sense or the thing heard specifically. What did you hear? All right. Now, I'm teaching right now, I'm teaching the Word, I'm teaching, you know, what I believe God wants me to get across to you. How you hear that is going to affect your faith. You need to understand this. How you hear something is going to affect your faith. It's going to affect how you believe, what you believe, and so on. All right? Now, never am I ever expecting anybody, when it comes to me teaching, to just take what I say as gospel truth. I'm not expecting that. But I am expecting that you don't just kick it out because it doesn't fit your scheme of things.
Right.
I'm expecting you to take it to God, take it to the Word, and study it, right?
Yes.
Get in there and find out if it's the truth or not. Find more scriptures either for or against it. Do whatever you got to do, but I am never expecting you to just outright reject something because it doesn't sound right to you. You got to understand, none of what Jesus said sounded right to the Pharisees. Are you listening? None of what he said sounded right to the Pharisees. They couldn't argue against his logic because he knew the word and he used it. But when you're practicing hearing, all right, when you're practicing hearing, it's the word. In this case, the word here is the word rhema, and it means an utterance, whether it's individual or a collection of them or specifically something. And then by implication, a matter of topic. I'm on a topic right now, so that's, I'm teaching you a rhema because I'm on a topic. But a rhema could be a scripture. It could be a passage of scriptures. It's much more specific than the word logos is. Logos can carry a much broader concept, a much broader meaning. And so even by hearing a scripture, faith can come out of that. You don't know how many times I've been healed by one scripture. Wake up in the middle of the night and I'm sicker than a dog for some reason. And I'm like, what is going on? And I sit down and open up my thing and I read a scripture. Because I'm barely awake. And I'm too tired to sit here and read for a while. And I got to get up. And I know it. I'll read one scripture. Close it off, roll over, and go to sleep. And you don't know how many times I woke up the next morning and I'm feeling fine. One scripture can do it. That's the power of God's word.
Yes, Bill.
But if you're not hearing it, faith has no way to be activated for you. So, you got to practice three things when it comes to hearing the word. Number one, you got to open your ears, your physical ears. You got to put yourself in a position to where you're hearing the word, whether it's a message, whether it's scripture. Now, understand, our messages are messages. We're giving you something we believe God wants us to teach you. None of it's going to be perfectly, completely all the scripture. As Kenneth Hagin would say, you know, chew up the grass and spit out the sticks. So take what you know when you're hearing it. Take what you know is the word. If you don't know if it's the word, it becomes something you present to God and ask him to clarify for you. But the first thing that you got to do is understand that you got to be hearing the word. You got to open up the sense of hearing the word. This is practicing hearing the word. If you want to practice faith and get to the point where faith starts producing, I'm telling you, if you follow what I tell you over this next week or so, if you follow this, you're going to start seeing results in your faith. It may not happen instantly, but I guarantee it will happen. And this may answer for some of you why some things work for you and some things don't. I mean, just like for me, when I first started getting a hold of the word and started really understanding, well, you know, especially in the area of healing and the area of God meeting our needs, it was easy. I mean, I tied right into healing, like I shared before. I tied right into healing. Prosperity and God meeting our needs, I struggled with that. Well, Pastor, you know, maybe you were just gifted to... No! Any promise of God that you find in there belongs to you. The blessings of Abraham have been sent to us as Gentiles. The promise of the Spirit belongs to us. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Jesus was made that curse so that we could be redeemed from it. And the curse of the law included poverty, it included destruction, it included war, it included insanity, it included sickness and disease, but it also included barrenness, not having kids, losing your kids to the world. It included that. But if we're not hearing something specific, we're not going to gain faith. If we're closing our ear at the wrong time, we're not going to gain the faith for it. And it took me a little while. After a while, I started realizing, you know what? God wants, He wants me to just be blessed. And part of my job as a pastor, because I wasn't a typical pastor, I'm not living off of you guys, I'm living off of my own labor. And plus, I get blessed from the ministry as well. But, you know, God, I started realizing, you know what? The church is too small. I got to work. And it started when I actually left for Banning and to go work with a pastor there. He had promised that I would have the support, have the position. When I got there, he said, "You're going to have to get a job. You're going to have to get a job." And I wanted to say, "So you lied to me." Is that how you do all your pastors? You lie to them? It kind of miffed me. But you know what? I said, "Lord, I believe that you wanted me here. So you know what? I'm going to have to work with this." So I got a job. That's where I started in the glazing trade. And it was intense because I had already started believing God and saying, "You know what? I got to get a hold of this, Father. How am I going to live and take care of my family if I'm not prospering on some level?" And so I started working, and we started prospering, didn't we, baby? God started moving and stuff. And so He's always kept me in this mode. He goes, "I want you to set the example to the people that they can serve me and they can work. I want you to be an example of covenant relationship with me." And believe me, God has kept His covenant with me. You need to understand that God keeps covenant. Now, was it easy? No. You know, you're not going to walk around getting cash handed to you on a platter. Now, sometimes you do, but that's up to God to do that. That's not you to do that. Do you understand that? And so, I mean, I'm at the point where we're flush as far as finances are in this church. Many times I don't even let the church pay for stuff. I just pay for it. If I need something or we need something in the church, I'll just go out and buy it myself. Why? Because it's part of my giving. I want to give and be a giver. I don't sit there and, you know, be stingy. That's not God. Now, so there's three aspects of this. Hearing, the act. You're not going to get faith if you're not hearing the word. Let me make that clear. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You're not going to get faith if you're not hearing the Word. So just the act of hearing the Word increases your ability to gain faith. Just the act of it increases your ability, just your ability. Nothing more, but it increases your ability to gain faith. You understand that? So the more you're hearing the Word, when Eva talks about all we ever did was run the New Testament or the Bible on, you know, on tape, started off with tape, and then it went CD, and then it got to the point where I couldn't listen to it anymore because I would never go to sleep. Because it would make me so active inside. God would start showing me stuff, and I'm like, "Lord, I got to go to sleep, man. I got to go to work tomorrow. It's your fault. You wanted me to go to work." So it's, you know. And so He let me off the hook. But you got to be in a position to hear. You got to be hearing the Word. As a matter of fact, if you read your Bibles, this is a recommendation, and it's completely contrary to what everybody tells you. Everybody, all the classrooms, all the teachers, You got to learn how to read silently. Don't sit there and mouth the words. Did you know that there's a real technique behind doing that?
Absolutely.
No, a technique that accomplishes something when you read loud enough for you to hear. Do you understand that? You actually learn better. In case you didn't know that, I'm telling you. Read quietly. Library. Read silently. Now, I mean, if I'm reading stuff, I mean, I'm quiet. I don't sit there and mouth it off or do it out loud. But whenever I read the word, I read it out. I don't read it super loud. I read it just enough where I can kind of hear the words that I'm saying. Because it has, believe it or not, it has an impact on me. I'm hearing the word. It has an impact on me. When I read my scriptures, I read them out loud. I read those like I read them out loud. Amen? Because it feeds me faith. And especially if you've got the voices in your head that are fighting and clawing to try and get you off God and tell you it ain't going to work, it's a good way to shut them up. Because everything inside you stops and listens to what you say. You understand that? So the first part of hearing is you got to open up the opportunity and get yourself in a place where you're actually hearing the word. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The second part of this is the sense, or the you got the act of hearing, the sense. In other words, your ears, I think that kind of goes with the first part of it. So instead of three things, let's just make it two, okay? Because the sense of hearing is, you know, it's we all have it. Now, if there was somebody in here that was deaf, then God would work with them more specifically on the level of seeing, on the level of just reading. You got that? Because reading can be just as powerful. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 4 says, don't let the word depart from before your eyes. Keep it in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. And so, you know, there is that place where just reading is totally fine. Now the sense of it, and then also, you know, exactly what you've heard, the thing that you hear. There's a need for us, in order to practice faith, in order to practice us gaining faith, there's a need for us to practice focusing on what we're hearing. Now, I read my scriptures daily. That means it can become a routine very easy. I mean, you get in a rut, you're just sitting there reading through them, and you don't even remember what you read. Has anybody else experienced that besides me? You don't even remember what you read. Or you sit down, I'm going to read the word. And you read the whole chapter and you don't know what you read. And usually it's because your mind is on other things. If you're thinking about other things, you will not get what you're reading. Reading it a little bit loud enough for you to hear yourself helps focus your mind. But the key to this is that you got to the word's focus, but I'm using it so much that it can become empty. You got to key in. You got to dig into that very specific thing you're hearing. And I practice this. I actually practice this all the time. When I catch myself just kind of going over a scripture, I back up. I have the first page, because I have like 45 verses that I go over on a daily basis. And it's on my phone, so it's like I swipe up and that's a page, right? So it's usually four or five scriptures on each page on my phone. It's because I have to make them a little bit bigger, okay? So anyway. But I'll read down through that. I'll go to flip it up and I'll stop and think, what did I just read? And it's because whenever you start off doing this, you start off in the wrong frame of mind. You're not focusing on the thing heard. And if you don't catch that, you're going to continue it throughout the whole process. You'll get done and you'll think, I went through my scriptures. It did you no good. It does you no good until you focus in on what you're hearing. So when I'm reading my scriptures, I read them out loud now. I do it on purpose. I catch myself. Like, I don't even pray in tongues while I'm doing it anymore. I stop if I'm praying in tongues, I stop and I do specifically. I read it a little bit loud so that I can hear myself, and it gets my mind focused on what I'm reading. And that focus allows me to key in what's being said. And after hundreds and thousands of times of reading those scriptures, you don't know how many times God, just like what happened with Matthew 8:13, where, you know, Jesus turned around and told the centurion, he says, you know, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you, or let it be done for you. I had read that. I don't know how many times I read that. And then all of a sudden, I was reading it out loud, and it hit me like a brick right between the eyes. I was missing the point. As you have believed, go your way. That really hit me. Some of you may not have gotten it. Go your way. Once we release our faith on something, we got to go our way. Jesus spoke to the fig tree. He said, no man eat fruit from you from now on, hereafter and forever. And he walked off. He didn't sit there waiting, wondering if God was going to do it or it was going to happen. He walked off and went about his business. Matter of fact, he didn't even notice it. His disciples were the ones that brought it up that it had withered up. And I keyed in on it. Go your way. Go about your business. That's literally what the thing says. Lead yourself. It's a word that means to lead yourself on. It's the Greek word. It's just weird how the word is, but just like English, some words don't make sense, and you just learn to use them because that's what they mean. I had that problem with Spanish when I first started learning Spanish. There were some things that, as I understood each word and what it meant, you'd put certain words together, and it just didn't make sense. And so it got to the point where you don't worry about it making sense. That's what it means. Use it. And it was okay after that. But it really carries the meaning about going about your business. Head out, go do your thing, go about your business. As you've believed, let it be done for you. That means you hold on to that, right? I saw that. And for the first time ever, of all the times that I've read that scripture over the last 50-something years, I never saw that. And God opened my eyes. And it gave me a level of faith I never had before. It confirmed everything I used to tell you guys all the time, or still tell you guys. You know, you prayed, believe God, go do your work, do whatever, and just walk in faith. And Jesus told him that. Go your way. Go about your business. As you've believed, let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Hour. Amen? So you got to focus in on what you're hearing. Whether it's, and this is where the word rhema comes in, whether it's one word, one scripture in and of itself, one phrase of a scripture, or if it's a passage, it doesn't matter. Or if it's a message, you hear something on a message that just kind of, oh my God, is that it, God? Oh, help me with that. I got to understand that. When you're listening to the thing, when you're hearing the thing that you're supposed to be hearing, it opens the door for God to do some amazing things. But specifically, always, whether you feel it or not, whether you get any revelation or anything, like I don't get it all the time. Every once in a while I get it. God did it with the Hebrews 10:23. You know, hold fast the confession of your hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. There was a period of time when I couldn't read that scripture without being sucked in all the way into it, because it was rich with insight. What was the insight, Pastor? Go get your own. Seriously. I'm not the source of your insights. God is. The Holy Spirit is. Amen? He lives in you. Well, I don't get anything. Well, that's because you're not hearing. If you start hearing, you start getting. You guys get that? If you start hearing, you start getting. You know, we'll throw the word on CD or a message on CD while we're driving, and we're thinking about the day, and the message is going along, and you're just cruising along. And, you know, all that you heard that was playing didn't do anything for you. It just kind of helped fill the atmosphere in your car was something that was more oriented towards God. But how many times have you done that? Because I know I have. How many times have you just thrown it on there just to play in the background? And you're cruising along and all of a sudden you hear something and you go, click, what? Because the Holy Spirit made sure you heard it. So even when we're being a little lazy, God will help us out. So get yourself in a position where you're hearing it more and more. Start off with 5 minutes a day. Focus is hard, people. It's not even for somebody that's compartmentalized like I am. Focus can be really hard. Once I get going on something, man, I'm okay. I'm in it. My wife will walk through and she's like, says something, I don't even hear her. I'm busy, man. I'm in this thing. But there are days when it's like, I don't want to be here. I'd rather go do something else. Let me go lay down and sleep for a while. Let me go watch TV or do something. You want to do something different? Amen? But the moment, and sometimes it just starts off with doing something like that. You don't know how many times I've just thrown it on there and just gave it a little bit of time and it started pulling my focus in. When you feel something, if you are listening to a message, if you're listening to the word on CD or on file, if you're listening and it's just kind of there and all of a sudden you feel yourself starting to be pulled into it, God's trying to talk to you. He's trying to feed you faith. He's trying to feed you those things that'll wash out the garbage that's been bugging you. Are you listening to me? How many of you have noticed that when you get in the Word, when you spend time in the Word, you get done, it's easier to walk in love? How many of you ever noticed that?
Yes.
Let me see some hands. How many of you ever noticed that? And then, you know, you're not in the Word, what happens?
Oh.
Strife, grinding, all kinds of things. It just goes to hell in a handbasket. Our mouth gets used in a negative, evil way. Well, how do I change that, Pastor? Go back to the Word. Let the Word wash it out. You know, when I stopped condemning myself over stupid things like that and just started saying, Lord, I got to take some time to wash this out. And I just go read the Word for a little bit and it washes it out. I'm right there in tune with God. God's like going, hey, man, it's good to see you. How you doing? Nice to know you're still here. Amen. So the first thing, way to practice faith is to practice hearing. And I know that you guys all may think you know this, but I wanted to take the time to really burn this into our consciousness, that there are parts to hearing that are critical. If we're not following those, if we're not fulfilling those parts, nothing we're doing is actually doing anything for us. And only if the Holy Spirit can get your attention on something can He begin to make the difference for you in your life. Amen? And in your faith. All right. I'm going to start this one today. I won't finish it, but we'll start it at least. The next way you can practice faith is practice the faith of Abraham. This teaching from Paul really is meant to be a form of practice. Because, well, look at verse 16. Which is right here. Therefore, it is of faith. And this was the scripture I was actually relating to earlier about faith and promises of God. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure or guaranteed to all the seed. So the promise is guaranteed ours by faith. It's of faith. Why is faith so important? Because it puts it on the level of grace. We don't earn it. We just receive it, right?
Yes.
And that's what faith gives you the power to do. It gives you the power to receive. And so when you are willing to receive from God by His grace and not work for it, that opens a big door for the promises of God to begin to manifest into your life. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. So not only to those who are of the law, talking about the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Say that. Abraham
is my father.
Amen. We're children of Abraham. He's the father of all who are of what? Faith. He's the father of all of those who are of faith. All right? So the key to, you know, gaining the promises of God is the faith of Abraham. All right? And then Paul gets right into it. Verse 18, this is how we can practice faith. We can practice it by believing in hope. Romans 4:18, Abraham. I threw his name in here so we all know that this is who it's talking about. Who contrary to hope, Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope, believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. God said it, he heard it. Do you get that? He opened his ears, he heard it. He listened to what God had said to him. Now, not even Sarah was really paying that much attention until she got older. And finally, she finally heard it enough that she just started saying, you know what, if God's going to do it, God's going to do it. I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe God wants this. But she actually mocked God one time. That's scary. She laughed at him when he said, by this time next year, you'll have your son. She laughed at him. She wasn't out there in front of him. She thought she was covered. But God heard her laughing at him. And he wasn't hard on her. He just exhorted her. But Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. So one powerful way to start practicing faith is to start practicing believing in hope when there doesn't look like there is any hope.
That's right.
Practice. What is something that you'd have a hard time believing can ever happen? And if there's a promise, if there's a scripture that says it belongs to you, or that it existing is the way it's supposed to be, I mean, we get that way in our marriages sometimes. You know, we look at each other and go, there's no hope for you. There's no hope in this marriage. And so we begin to let everything take us apart. But you know what? You can practice hope. You know, I believe that we loved each other when we got married. I'm not willing to let that go. I'm going to hold on to that, Lord. I'm going to believe that my wife loves me. I'm going to believe that we were meant to be together. I'm going to believe that, you know, she loves me. And that we can have a good marriage. And when I say good, I don't mean that it's perfect. You know, women, your idea of good is one thing. And men, your idea of good is a whole nother thing. And that sometimes they never even intermix. But good is we get along and we enjoy each other's company. That would take a miracle in some cases. But see, you can start believing in hope. You struggle with a sickness or something wrong with your body that you've had forever. This is the way you can start practicing faith, and start looking at that condition and go, you know what? I believe in hope. I believe that I can expect God and have confidence that God will do this.
Yes.
That this is possible.
Yes.
I'm going to start believing that this is possible. I'm going to start believing my deliverance from this is possible. I'm going to start believing that God wants me to be delivered from this. I'm going to start believing that. I'm going to start putting confidence in that. Conviction in it. I'm going to practice that. It's not going to feel good. You're going to feel like, you know, you're taking a shower with your clothes on. You know, it's not going to feel comfortable. It's going to sound like gravel coming out of your mouth. But start practicing. Start practicing your hope. Start practicing putting faith in your hope. Believing in your hope. Now, I'm going to talk about this again later on when I start talking about confession, but you gotta start talking your hope, your expectation. I believe that I'm delivered from this. I believe that God supplies all my needs. I believe that I have this job. I believe that I have a good paying job. I believe that I have favor at work. I believe that I have favor in my home. I believe that I have favor in my neighborhood. Just start walking around putting faith, believing when there's no hope. Start believing it. Just start declaring it. Just start, you know, and not just saying it, but taking a moment to practice putting faith in that, you know. It and especially when you got the scriptures for it. Don't just do it on something with no scriptures, because there's no basis for your hope. The word is the basis of your hope. It's the basis of your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you got to have the word for things. God, give me a scripture. And I've done that with him. I said, Lord, I need a scripture for this. I need some scriptures for this. I need scriptures for this. And God will lead you to those scriptures. He does it all the time for me. Why wouldn't he do it for you? I'm not so special. You should see how they talk to me at home sometimes. Oh, man. See what I mean? Here we go. But if God can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. Amen? Contrary to hope, in hope, believe. Take the time to begin to see. Can this? I want to see this. What would this look like if it really would happen for me? What would it look like, Lord?
Yes.
And take a moment to see it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Practice that. I mean, the doctor tells you that there's no hope for you. Sit down and practice that being wrong.
That is the God of all hope.
Right? Practice. And if you're believing God for something and it's you're straining to see it come to pass, sit down and spend time practicing, seeing it come to pass, believing it. Put some faith in and create that hope, that concept of hope around that thing.
Yes.
Get some scriptures if you need to. Sometimes we ask things God for things and we don't have scriptures for it. And so it becomes almost like, I'm not sure if this is God. So God, if this is you, just go ahead and make it happen. That's where that all comes from, is because people started praying for things and didn't have the word in them to know that it belonged to them. And if you don't have the word for something, you need to be careful. Because does it really belong to you? You know, if you're going around praying and believing God to be rich, does that really belong to you? Do you know that prosperity destroys a fool? God teaches us to prosper and leads us by the way that we should go, right? He teaches us. That's not something that's going to happen overnight, right? He had to teach me how to prosper. He had to teach me how to use my faith for covenant. That's why I latched onto covenant so powerfully. It was because that was the key. That was something I knew God wanted, without question or doubt. And, you know, we all receive the blessings of Abraham. That's the promise from Galatians 3:14, you know, which is by faith in Christ Jesus, you know, that we might receive the promise, you know, not the promise of the Spirit, but that we might walk in the blessings of Abraham. Amen. And what's the blessing of Abraham? With multiplying, I'll multiply you. With blessing, I will bless you. That was easy for me to see. Now that I have scriptures on it, it was easy. And I started getting a hold of it. God, I believe you want to multiply me. I believe that you want to bless me. And boy, am I blessed and am I multiplied. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, I got enough time to do one more. Now, the next thing we can practice out of his faith is we can practice not considering our bodies or our circumstances.
Amen.
Romans 4:19 says, and not being weak in faith, Abraham, did not consider his own body. Already dead since he was about 100 years old in the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, not being weak in faith, that's the word asthenēo in the Greek, and it means to be feeble in any sense. Now, you can be feeble, but God's telling you here not to be feeble and weak in faith. It says, and not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body. That phrase right there is telling us a couple of things. Number one, it's telling us that if you're considering your body, if you're considering your circumstances, see, Sarah's womb was a circumstance. It was dead. And we know for a fact that Abraham wasn't the problem, because after Sarah passed away, went on into paradise, guess what? He got married again and had a bunch of kids. None of them were the heir, only Isaac. That was God's promise to him. But you need to understand that he didn't consider her. He was not considering the circumstance of her condition, of the barrenness of her womb, or him being dead, already dead. Now let's understand this. Not being weak in faith, in other words, if you are constantly looking at your circumstances, if you're constantly listening to what the doctor is telling you, if you're constantly listening to and looking at what your accountant's telling you, or your bank statement, you know, or your job, or the conditions of your life and where you live and all this other stuff, if you're constantly looking at these things and they hold more sway in your eyes and in your consideration than God's word, guess what? You will be weak in faith. Is that clear? Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. And the word consider there is the word katanoeo, which means to observe fully, to consider attentively, to fix one's eyes or mind upon. He didn't fix his mind on his condition. He didn't fix his mind on the fact that Sarah was barren. He got over that. He stopped being focused on that. And that's why it took 25 years, because he was looking for other ways to make it happen. And it ended up causing him problems. And God finally told him, he says, it's going to come by Sarah. And he's like, God, you're out of your mind, man. But he believed him. He chose to believe. And because he chose to believe, it required him to stop looking at the circumstances. Because what else are you going to do? If all you see, if you know, you have a choice. Either go based on what you see with the eyes or know with the heart from the Word of God.
Praise God.
Wow. You got there's those only two choices. There's no middle ground. And for those that are caught up with what they see, it's hard to go with what you know is true. And it even becomes a question of whether it's even true. You start wondering, you know, would God really do this? Can God do this? Amen? And even for some people, they might be in sin a little bit, or a lot, I don't know, but and then they think, well, God's not going to hear my prayer because I was in sin. You know, look at what, you know, James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up, and if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven.
Yes.
Does God let your sin get in the way of your healing?
No.
No. He loves us. Amen? So, what we've got to do is we've got to stop considering our bodies, our circumstances, our minds, how people look around us. We've got to stop considering that. You know, I mean, some of you, you know, your mate gets mad at you over something and you're like, you know, you're running away. No, act like nothing's wrong. Walk in love, man. Act like nothing's wrong. Just say, look, if you did something stupid and you did something wrong, apologize. Walk in there and say, hey, look, I messed up and I apologize.
Right.
And then just walk out. Don't expect them to respond. Just walk out. Let them get over their emotions. Because sometimes, you know, you get upset, you get hurt, and it takes a while to get over your emotions. Give them the room to do that. You caused it. Amen? But if you know you didn't do anything wrong and they're just railing on you, that's their battle. You know, that's not your circus. It's not your monkeys. That belongs to them. That's their demons to corral. Kick out. But love them. Act like nothing's wrong. Do good to them. Pray for them. Speak well of them. Just like you would any enemy. Amen? It's amazing. It works. Well, you do it to me too. I know. It goes both ways. But it works, doesn't it? You act in faith, a lot of times you fall right in it, man. You act in love, you fall right in it. You know?
It goes away.
It does. It just dissipates. You know why? Because it wasn't real in the first place. And all we do with our emotions is give it power. Not being weak in faith, Abraham did not consider his own body already dead. Now, some of you are struggling with things in your lives, whether it's physical, whether it's circumstantial, whatever it is. Take some time and begin to practice not considering that. In other words, well, how do I do that, Pastor? Well, every time you think about it, open your Bible and read scriptures until you're not thinking about it. Every time you think about it, you know, pray. Say, Father God, I roll the care of this over in your hands. I've prayed. I believe I have the answer. I roll the care of this into your hands. Jesus, you said, cast all my cares on you. I'm doing it. I don't care. I'm not going to worry. I know, I believe in hope. That's why it starts off with believing in hope. I believe in hope, and I'm going to stop considering the circumstance. I'm going to practice. And some days you may have to sit there for 5 minutes, and everything that's off that you can pick up that's off, begin to practice. This has no power over me. Amen. I'm not going to consider this. I'm not going to be weak in faith over this. Take moments throughout the day and practice that. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to stop here for today, and we'll pick up on this next week. Amen.